I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of I Love Islam, I hope you're well. I hope you're in the best state of health and iman. I pray that Allah Ta'ala increases blessings in your time, in your health, in your iman, in your family. Alhamdulillah, we're back again at the end of the week. Alhamdulillah, Sunday evening in the UK. And we have packed interesting segments for you, inshallah, azawajal. In the studio in Bradford, I have a guest that I want to introduce. Well, with me today it's Muhammad Hassan Raza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hassan Raza, welcome back to I Love Islam.
Jazakallah.
How are you feeling today?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Thank you for joining us today. Hassan, is there anything that you want to recite today?
I want to do tilawat.
You're going to recite tilawat. SubhanAllah. Hassan Raza is going to start this program with the tilawat of the Quran. So all those who are watching this program, can you stop doing anything? Just pause for a moment and let's listen to the glorious Quran.
InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, today I'm going to recite Surah An-Nasr near the end of Para 30. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا صدق الله العظيم.
سبحان الله. That was wonderful, Hassan Raza. Well done, mashallah. That was really nice. You recited the Quran with the basic rules of Tajweed and your fluency was really good, mashallah. Well done. And we are now going to continue with the next segment, and that is story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
SubhanAllah, in this segment we normally talk about some beautiful stories about Islam, because our deen, our faith is the beautiful way of life, and our history is full of beautiful and great incidents. And today's topic, SubhanAllah, as you can see on the screen, so if we're not talking about any person here, we're not talking about any place, we are going to talk about a cow. And guess what? It's nothing new. This cow and this waqia and this story of the cow has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. SubhanAllah. In fact, this is one of the very important and wonderful Quranic event. And you know, you want to know the significance of this cow. SubhanAllah. This cow is so important that one of the surah, and this surah is the biggest or the largest surah of the Quran, has been named after this word cow. Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah is the surah of the Quran which is the biggest surah. And look at the name, it's called Baqarah. The Baqarah comes from the word cow. So this surah has been named after this cow, this incident that has been mentioned in this surah. Subhanallah, you can understand the significance of this beautiful incident, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So please stay tuned, stay focused, and listen to some of the interesting facts about this cow. Subhanallah, let me take you back now. I'm going to take you back in history. This is the time of Bani Israel. So Bani Israel, there was a young man of Bani Israel who was pious, he was sincere, he was a really nice individual, and he had a young son. Subhanallah, this great person, great pious, beautiful person, he had, you know, like the way we have pets at home, likewise he had a young single female calf. Calf is the baby cow. So this calf that he had, that was his only property. That's the only thing that he owned. And this person was nice and beautiful person. He was a pious individual. Just before his death, that pious man, he took this calf, this baby cow, to the jungle. And he left it next to this bush, next to this little tree, bushy area. And he said, he made a dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, I leave this calf under your protection until my son reaches maturity. So this young man, he took this calf in the jungle. He left it next to some bushes. And he made dua, Ya Allah, I am leaving this calf in your protection. Ya Allah, please look after it. Ya Allah, I will leave it in your trust. And this trust, I'm leaving it for you to keep after it. So you nurture it and you give the food to this calf until my son, who's a baby at the moment, until he reaches maturity. Subhanallah. So this young man, he left his calf in the jungle. And what happened? After some time, this young man, he passed away. He died. And then as life moves on, this calf, which was a baby cow, time came, it grew. Allah Ta'ala kept it safe and protected from wild animals and beasts. It remained safe. It grew and it became a fully, you could say a full cow. Became grown up cow. At the same time, this young man's son, who was a baby when he passed away, when the father passed away, this young baby, with time, he's grown up as well. And now he's turned to the age of maturity. And when he grew up and he became an adult, he became a very obedient son who would care and love his mother. And he was very obedient. He would listen to every instruction of the mother. Subhanallah. This young man, the son of the pious man who's passed away, this young man, he was, he divided his time into three. This is something amazing. Those who are watching this program, we struggle in managing our time. Look, let's see what he does. What did he used to do? He divided his time into three parts. This is especially the night session. Okay, he divided his night into three parts. The first part, he used to sleep in that session. In the second part, he used to worship Allah Ta'ala. In the third part, he used to serve his mother. So he divided his night into three parts. Subhanallah, some time, some moments for sleeping, for having some rest, some part to worship Allah Ta'ala, and some part he would spend it with his mother. Subhanallah. And also, this young man, he used to travel to the jungle every day in the morning to find some wood, and he used to collect so much wood from the jungle, and then he would sell this wood. And this was the reason, the means of his living. He used to earn sustenance through selling wood. And he used to give sadaqah. He was a person who used to give charity. And subhanAllah, again, like the way he divided his night into three, he divided his wealth into three as well. SubhanAllah. Because he loved charity, so he used to give one third of his earning to the charity, and he used one third for his personal needs. And then he used to give one third to his mother. SubhanAllah. All those young adults, boys and girls who are working part-time jobs, you know, remember when you get some money from when you get your wages, give a share to your parents as well. Give them as a gift. You know, don't think that, you know, you're doing them a favor, but do it as, you know, just to make them happy in with the intention to serve your parents. SubhanAllah. So always think about your parents when you give money, inshallah. So one day, the mother of this young man said to him, "Oh my beloved son, oh my lovely son, your father, he left a calf for your inheritance when he, just before he passed away. There was a calf that he left in a jungle next to a bush, and he left it for your inheritance. It was for you. So now, because you have grown up, why don't you go back to that bush, go to the jungle and find that bush and ask in the court of Allah, make dua, make this special dua, subhanAllah. He says, the mother told him to say, "O Rabb of Sayyiduna Ibrahim, Sayyiduna Ismail, and Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhimus salam, return me the thing my father gave under your protection." SubhanAllah. Make dua in the court of Allah and ask for wasila. Mention the names of the prophets and make dua that, "Ya Allah, return that calf back to me that my father left in your protection." SubhanAllah. Can you imagine that for a long time he is making a dua in the court of Allah? SubhanAllah. And the mother, whilst giving advice to the son, she says that she described this calf. This calf was yellow in color, and its skin was shiny, and it was, you know, it had such like a feature to it that when you look at it, it seems that the sun was, you know, the sun rays were emitting from it. So it was really shiny. And therefore, you know, go there and ask, you know, look for this type of calf. SubhanAllah. So this young man, he left with the mindset to find this calf. Just imagine, he's never seen this calf before. And he's heard it first time from his mother. And now he's gone to the jungle to find this. SubhanAllah. Because this young man, he was very obedient to his mother. So he thought, I have to go. His mom didn't have to insist him and say to him again and again. It was only a matter of, you know, reminding him once. And he was there to listen to the mother. SubhanAllah. Before I continue, let's listen to a naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We have Hassan Raza with us today in the studio. Hassan Raza, why don't you read a naat to us?
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Aankhon ka tara naam Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam Muhammad, daulat jo chaho naam-e Muhammad, aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad, Nooh Khaleel, Musa aur Isa, sabka hai aqa naam e muhammad uche ga maula laya hai kya kya uche ga maula laya hai kya kya main ye kahunga naam e muhammad anko kata dil ka ujala naam-e muhammad apne raza ke qurban jaaun apne raza ke qurban jaaun jisne sikhaya naam-e muhammad apne jameele rizvi ke dil mein apne jameele rizvi ke dil mein aaja sama ja aaja sama ja naam e muhammad aaja sama ja naam e muhammad aankhon ka tara naam e muhammad dil ka ujala naam e muhammad
sallu ala al habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم سبحان الله. Each time you listen to a naat of the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم, it enlightens your heart. Subhanallah, it gives you this beautiful energy. MashaAllah, well done, Hassan Raza. That was a beautiful kalam that you recited. Subhanallah, today we are talking about the most expensive cow on the earth. So I've already started the story, inshallah. I'm going to continue the story. Let's come back to our story. The most expensive cow in the whole world. Okay, this young man, he was instructed by his mother to go in that jungle and get to this bush and make dua. Ya Allah, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, oh the Rabb of Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ismail, Sayyidina Ishaq, alayhimu salatu wassalam, return me the thing my father gave under your protection. Subhanallah. And this son was told to make this dua. Subhanallah. After so many years. Allahu Akbar. And he was given instruction by his mother that this cow is yellow in color and it's really shiny. It's bright and shiny, like the way, you know, the sun rays, you know, shine at you. Subhanallah. So hearing this, the boy went to the jungle and he made that dua next to the bush. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All of a sudden, the cow came to him running and stood by him. Subhanallah. He brought this cow home. The mother said to him, my son, go to the market and sell this cow for 3 dinars. 3 dinars. Dinar was the currency of the time. Like we have pound, we have dollars, we have different currencies in our countries. And like that, the currency of the time was dinar. So this was the average value of a cow. So 3 dinar was not a small number. It was a huge price. That was the price for the cows at that time. So the mother said, go to the market and sell this cow so we can have some money. So, however, the mother said to the son, do not sell this cow to anyone without consulting me. So go to the market, find a buyer, find someone who's interested, but before you finalize the deal, make sure you consult with me. Make sure you come back to me and discuss it with me before selling it to anyone. Because this man was very obedient to his mother, so he remembered this lesson. So in those days, that was the price of the cow. So he went there, he went to a market, and he was trying to look for someone who would be interested in buying. And suddenly, a person came. A buyer came, who in reality was an angel. Allahu Akbar. He came, the angel said to him, he came in the human form,
said to him, I will pay you more than 3 dinars on a condition that you sell me this cow without discussing it with your mother. Allahu Akbar. This was a test for this young man. He was giving him, he enticed him, he gave him a better deal. He said, look, you're asking for 3 dinars. I'll buy this off you with more than 3 dinars. I'll give you plenty of money. But the condition is, you need to sell this to me without discussing it with your mother. This young man said, straight up to him, sorry, I'm sorry, I cannot sell this without talking to my mother. So whatever you offer me, that's not going to affect me. The money is not going to change me, because whatever you offer me, I will go and speak to my mother, consult with her before selling this. So that same day, this young man, he reached home, and this young man related the story to the mother. And the mother thought, why would someone come and offer you, a lot of money? And why would he put that condition? The mother was really wise. She thought, that could be an angel. That could be an angel. So why don't you, oh son, listen, now if you find that person again, who in reality may be an angel, why don't you go back and this time ask him for advice? Ask him, is it better for me to sell this cow or should I leave it? Ask him. Let's see what he says. Subhanallah. This young man, he went to the market on another time and he met that same person who was an angel in reality, and he asked him for advice, and that angel advised this man to not sell the cow. Don't sell it. This is not a normal cow. This is something special. So he told him, in near future, the people of Musa alayhi salam, the nation of Musa alayhi salam, someone from them will come to you and will buy this cow. And he also said that when someone comes to give the price for this cow, that angel advised him to demand the price equivalent to the amount of gold that can be filled in the hide of the cow. The amount of gold that can be filled in the skin inside the body. So much gold. So this cow is not a normal cow. So make sure you demand this to them people. And they will pay whatever you say to them. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, some days passed. And what happened? There was a rich man in Bani Israel who was called Amil. He was murdered by some of his relatives, two of his relatives, and they threw his body in a secret place. So they murdered him and they threw this body in some secret place. The next morning, when people started searching the murderers, and people looked around, they wanted to know, where's the person gone? Who killed him? Who are these people? Who are these evil people who have murdered Amil? And the tribe and the people, they got together because they couldn't find any, they had no clues, they had no signs. There's no hints of who's the murderer. So they thought, because we can't trace the murderer, we've got one option. That is, let us all go in the court of the Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, and ask him about the murderer. Allahu Akbar. From this we learn that when you are stuck, you are in trouble, then that's the time you call out the Prophets of Allah and they come to help. Subhanallah. So these people went in the court of Prophet Musa alayhi salam and said, O Prophet of Allah, please help us find the murderer of our man, Amil. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, order these people, this was a command from Allah Ta'ala, and he ordered them to slaughter a cow and strike the dead body with its tongue or the bone of the tail, and the murdered Amil will resurrect and will tell you the name of his killer. Allahu Akbar. Look, listen to this again. Prophet Musa al-Islam told these people, go and slaughter a cow and then get the tongue or the bone part of the tail, get that and strike the body of the young Amil, and this young Amil will come to life again from the death. He will become alive again, and he will tell you who murdered him. Allahu Akbar. This was extraordinary. And I thought, wow, what's going on? And these people, instead of listening and following the instructions of Prophet Musa al-Islam, they thought, how is that possible? You know, they start questioning, raising questions. They thought, is that going to happen? Is that true? Then they're trying to be cheeky. And when these people questioned Prophet Musa al-Islam about the age, about the color, about the size of this cow. When later on, when Musa al-Islam defined the cow, you know, the type of the cow, the age of the cow, the color of the cow, and because now they have become so specific, it wasn't easy to find this cow. When they reached the cow, after a long search, they reached that cow. They realized that this cow that they found is the exact cow. It's yellow in color. It's shiny. And it's not too small. It's not too big. It's the middle age. It looks like it's just the cow. Because they found it, what do? They go to the owner, that young man, and they say to him, that please, we want to buy this cow. And that young man sold this cow to them people. These people paid the price equivalent to the gold filled in its hide. And then they slaughtered this cow. Then they hit the dead body of Amil with the tongue or the bone of the tail. And the dead Amil, that young man, he became alive. Allahu Akbar, he came back to life, and he told everyone that his killers, the two people who murdered him, were his own cousins, his uncle's sons, his own cousins. They're both people who were greedy of his wealth. They killed him. After telling this, he died again. Therefore, both of those killers were given the punishment of that time. And the boy of the pious man, who was very obedient, who the owner of this cow, he was so obedient to his mother, he became a very rich man. He earned a lot of wealth. Subhanallah. So look at this. Look at what happened there. This young man was pious. He left his baby calf in the jungle, in the trust of Allah Ta'ala. After so many years, his son grew up and he found that calf again, and then he sold it to people and he became rich. He had so much treasure of gold. Subhanallah. This is the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This whole incident, this waqia, has been mentioned in the glorious Quran in a very detail. I'm just going to give you a hint. If you want to read this waqia, it's in first para, Surah Baqarah, the verses from 67 to 73. This whole waqia has been defined and described in a very beautiful way. And some of the morals that we learn from this waqia is something that we all need to pay attention to. There are some very important lessons for all of us to take. Number one, the possessions, the things that you leave in the court of Allah, in the trust of Allah, Allahu Akbar, you get so many blessings and mercy from Allah Ta'ala in return. Did you see the young man who left this baby calf in the jungle in the trust of Allah? And look in return, how many blessings he got. His son became one of the richest people of the time. SubhanAllah. Number two, the pious man left the calf under the protection of Allah Ta'ala to help his son. From here we learn that as parents, uncles and elderly people who are watching this program, we need to make sure we are kind to our children. We need to do something special. We have to love our kids. These are the gifts. These are the flowers that we have. Love them. Care about them. Make sure you protect them. Look after their well-being. Give them what is better for them. Give them good food. Look after them. Keep them nice and clean. Care about them. SubhanAllah. And also we learn that this young man, he was obedient to his mother. If he sold that cow for 3 dinars in that market, he would only get them 3 dinars in return. But because he listened to his mom, and his mom told him, before you sell it, talk to me. So what does that mean? We learn, one beautiful lesson is that always remain obedient to parents. When your parents tell you to do something, then don't just go around the bush and find loopholes. Don't listen to your parents. They tell you things for some, for important reasons. There's so many things that you may not understand as children, but your parents know better for you. So when they tell you to do something, please listen to them and be obedient to your parents. This is one of the beauty of Islam. Another beautiful lesson we learned from this story is this young man who was obedient to the mother, he, after listening to his mother, look what happened to him. Yeah, he became rich. So many blessings came to him. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, the most expensive cow in the world. We've just heard about it. And some of the important lessons we learned from them is when Musa al-Islam instructed these people to get a cow and slaughter this. You know them people, the Bani Israel. These people, for some reason, you know, their brains didn't work the normal way. You know, they had a habit of questioning and asking, you know, raising arguments, and they had some weird style. And that sometimes gets you into trouble. For example, if the first instruction from Musa al-Islam was that go get a cow and slaughter it. It was a simple instruction, and then strike, you know, from the meat, the dead body, and you'll get the answer. It was a simple instruction, but these people told me, how's that going to happen? How's the dead person going to become alive? They started questioning these things and started having a debate or discussion. And what happened? Because they asked so many questions, they made the life hard for them. So at the beginning, they could have slaughtered any cow. You know, they could have got away with it. But then they asked, okay, what's the age of the cow? The answer was, it's not baby, it's not too old, it's in the middle. Then they asked, what color was it? Yeah, it's yellow in color. They asked so many features about the cow. And when Musa al-Islam each time told, you know, different answers about the cow, then it became like very, you know, very specific cow. And to find that type of cow, it wasn't easy. And they had to search for this cow really far. They took them so long to get to this cow. And it was an easy thing. And then when they reached that cow, it wasn't cheap. They had to buy, they had to give a heavy price for that cow. And that's why this cow, it became the most expensive cow, because it was equivalent to treasure of gold. And if them people listened to the first instruction of Musa al-Islam, they would have had to go through all this. It would have been easy for them. So what do we learn from here? Very important lesson for all of us. When we hear, as a Muslim, the order of Allah, we hear about the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that instruction, that command of Allah is enough for us. We don't need to ask about anything else. If we find out that we have to pray 5 times a day, that's enough for us. We don't need to ask, why do we have to pray? Because even if I live in UK, do I still have to pray? Well, don't ask these questions. Yeah, if you listen to the command of Allah, if the command of Allah has come to you and you became aware of something, if this is farz, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is something you should do, and these are things you must stay away from. So if you became aware of the commands of Allah and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without hesitation, by closing our eyes, with our heart, we should act upon the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the true passion and the love that we need to have for Islam. Inshallah, Azawajal, by doing this, we will reap so many blessings from Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah, we also learn that if we give our wealth under the protection of Allah Ta'ala, our Rabb, Allah Azawajal, protects it, and also He gives us endless blessings and rewards in return as well. Subhanallah. Therefore, whenever we leave our family members in His protection, so when you travel really far, you're on a long journey, we should leave our family members in the protection of Allah. You're leaving your family, your house, your possessions in the trust of Allah Ta'ala. And when you do that, when you leave in the trust and the protection of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala is the most trustable. He's the one who is most powerful. He's the one who protects everything. And inshallah, He will not just protect these things, but also give immense reward, you know, for you having that passion, inshallah, azawajal. Subhanallah. Just final message before we close this segment. Remember one thing, if we have selected an animal that will be sacrificed for Allah, so either you will perform aqiqah or you will perform qurbani, you will sacrifice this for Allah Ta'ala. If you've selected one animal, you need to make sure that animal, when you are selecting this animal, you need to make sure that's beautiful, that's perfect, and it's special, it's unique. Yeah, and that's something that we should choose, that we want to sacrifice in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it's time to move on to our next segment, Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam.
Sunnah Lifestyle. Today, inshallah, azawajal, we will be learning about the beautiful etiquettes and manners of walking. Subhanallah. Walking. First of all, let's try to understand the importance of walking. Subhanallah. Every day, we walk, don't we? How do we walk? Have you ever thought, how are we able to walk? We walk with our feet. We walk because we have legs. Who gave these feet? Who gave us the legs? Just for a moment, think. What if you didn't have legs? What if you didn't have feet? We wouldn't be able to walk. We would become bedbound. We wouldn't be able to move. We wouldn't be able to go to school. We won't be able to travel. We won't be able to go to our relatives. We won't be able to do anything if we didn't have any feet. The first thing that we should do, we should thank Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with the gift of feet. Subhanallah, amazing. This is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. We should be thankful. We should pay gratitude. Why did Allah Ta'ala give us feet? He gave us the feet so we can walk. Walk in the path of Allah. We can walk to the masjid. We can walk to help someone who's in need. We can walk to see our relatives. We can walk to our Islamic education centers, to madrasa, to our schools, to learn Islamic knowledge. Allah Ta'ala has given us legs and feet so we can walk to the masjid, so we can perform our salah properly. Our feet that we've been gifted by Allah Ta'ala are here, so we use them for doing good things, nice things. At the same time, if we can stay away from the bad things, especially by helping, if someone is in difficulty, someone is struggling, maybe in a fight or anything that they're going through a rough time, and you can go in between and help them out. You can play a small role. This is why you have these feet. Allah Ta'ala has given you hands and feet for this reason, for being nice and kind to the community. Subhanallah. By the way, did you know there are some important manners of walking? Some of the things that we need to keep in mind when we are walking. Number one, in a normal routine, say you're walking to the masjid. A person who's walking to the masjid should walk in a very respectful and in a dignified manner. When someone looks at you, you know, you should be walking in a humble way. Whilst you're walking on the street, you shouldn't be staring at other people's homes, looking through the windows, or if there's someone's doors open, don't look what's inside. We shouldn't be staring at anyone's home. Don't look here and there. Just look down, look at your footpath, look at your journey, and just keep walking ahead. That's very important. And when you're walking, don't run. Don't jog or run to the masjid. This is not a respectful way. Or don't walk so slow that when someone looks at you, they think, what's wrong with him? So is he not well? Should we call the ambulance for him? Yeah, don't walk in such a way that people will get, you know, they will look at you and think, what's happened to him? Walk in a normal way, in a respectful manner. And this rule is not just when you walk to the masjid, but also when you walk back from the masjid as well, all the way until you return home. This is something very important. Just keep this in mind, that when you're walking to the masjid or you're walking back from the masjid, there are other people in your society who look at you. And by you, by the way you walk and the way you're dressed, yeah, this should inspire other people. Each time you leave your home, you're walking down the street, you know, it should give like a message to the local community that you're going to the masjid. You're a nice person. You're a humble man. You're a young individual who is going to worship Allah Ta'ala. And you shouldn't be, you know, looking at people's cars or breaking other people's windows. You know, don't harm anyone. Don't harm any animals. Don't kick any, you know, if there's a rock, you know, a rock or small pebbles, don't just kick the curbs or anything else, or like rubbish. You know, sometimes you have like boxes or other things, glass on the floor. Don't just kick them around. You know, walk in a nice, respectful manner. These are basic things that we need to keep in mind, inshallah. For those who want to learn how to practically walk according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I advise you to travel on Madani Qafila. Because one of the activity in Madani Qafila is we go outside in the local community and invite people towards the masjid. And this, when we do this, we do it in a small group. We walk in a dignified manner and you get a bit of practice there. So these are basic things that you learn practically in Madani Qafila, inshallah, azza wa jal. Now, inshallah, we will be moving to our next segment, which is called Islamic Ruling.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
And today, inshallah, azza wa jal, in this segment, we are going to talk about the blessings of Azan. Subhanallah, Azan, the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful form of worship. You know the importance of call to prayer. This was going back centuries and centuries ago when there was no radio systems, there was no loudspeakers in the masajid. And people used to stand tall on top of the masjid hall or on the side, on top of the hills. And they used to call out for people to come to the masjid and remind them that it's time for salah. So as a Muslim, we have to pray five times a day. We have Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. There are five prayers every single day that we have to perform as a Muslim. And for each prayer, it is sunnah to call out the azan. To call out azan and call people, remind the people, it's namaz time. What happens in the azan? You know, we have the praise of Allah. We say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We say, Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. SubhanAllah, we are praising Allah. We are letting the whole world know that Allah is the greatest. Whoever can hear our sound, we are making them aware that Allah is the greatest. And do you know, when a muazzin, the person who gives the azan is called muazzin. And the muazzin is not just one person who gives the azan. But There's one muazzin in every masjid. For each salah, there's one person assigned who gives the azan. Just imagine how many masajid we have in the whole country. How many masajid we have in the whole world. We have thousands and thousands of masajid. And for every salah, for Fajr salah, all the masajid, when it's Fajr time, they give azan. They are calling out. They sing, Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Then they are praising Allah. They're saying the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they're telling people, come, it's time for salah. Come to success. Subhanallah, these are beautiful words that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. And Muslims all around the world, they call out these words. Subhanallah, thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people, should I say millions of people around the world, they give azan every single day. Not just once, not twice, not three times, but five times, and not just in one day. Every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, and every single moment, every single day of the life. Until people are living here, this azan will continue to be, will be delivered inshallah, and name of Allah will be raised. Subhanallah, it's a very special, you know, when you look at this connection, it's amazing. Yeah, therefore, you know, as a Muslim, we should also learn the azan as well. We should try to learn those words, you know, how to pronounce them correctly, practice them. There's loads of beautiful azans available on social media, on Madani channel. Listen to them words and try to copy them. Try to copy the sounds, inshallah, azawajal. Practice them, read them to your parents as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we had a wonderful day today. We learned some beautiful things about Islam. For now, that's it. Look after yourself and keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.